Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Cosentino here. Another edition of Democratic Perspective. We have a full studio this morning. Steve Williamson is off doing something interesting. But we're going to do even more interesting stuff right here in the studio. This is a show we've been wanting to do for a long time. We're going to talk about fracking in Arizona, particularly in northern Arizona. So we got sort of a three-part show. We're going to talk about fracking. We're going to talk about some legislation. And we're going to talk about the mine inspector job. Bill Pierce, he's been on the show before. Bill Pierce is here. He's certainly voted the most colorful candidate in Arizona, and we're glad he's back. We're going to talk a little bit about mining. There's an awful lot of just like everything else, I think, politically, there's an awful lot of activity going on in the state. All sorts of things that we want to make you aware of. So don't forget, this show is live streamed on Facebook, and it's you can be listen to it all over the world. It's live streamed on the Chasm website and various other places. So we want to draw your attention to our VVID. You'll hear it again at the end of the show. Our Verde Valley Independent Democrats bring you Democratic Perspective. And there is a great big fat donate button on the webpage. Some of our supporters yell at me because I forget that too often, so I'm putting it at the top of the show. but first, this morning we're going to talk about fracking, and this is one of those really really complicated issues. At least it is to most of us. I have to admit, listening to a couple of presentations now, it's much simpler. So we're going to try to summarize fracking as best we can, and listen to I want to introduce the guests we have in the studio this morning. We have, oddly enough, three people named Pierce. We got Wayne Pierce. Say good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
We're going to talk to you first. We got Bill Pierce, I already mentioned. We got Martha Pierce, and we have John Stuckey is going to do the legislation part for us. So tell me, Wayne, as you know, you did a great presentation this morning. These guys are fresh off of a presentation to Democrats of the Red Rocks over at Old Sedona, and they had a small but enthusiastic audience learning about some of the environmental issues that these things, the mining and the fracking, deal with. So tell us what fracking is. As most of us know, I think.
Fracking is, it's an amazing technology, really, but it is filled with dangers.
Right.
And fracking is a method of extracting resources out of the ground. And what we're dealing with up here in the Holbrook Basin and the whole part of Arizona here is that the oil and gas companies are fracking or want to frack for helium. Helium is an interesting gas. Most of us know it as the funny way to talk after breathing it. But helium is used, has an important role in MRI machines and many other technologies that require very, very cold temperatures.
So let me stop. So Arizona fracking, besides oil and gas they're going after, it's the helium, which is pretty rare, right?
Helium is rare. There are a lot of mysteries involving helium, though. Like I mentioned some of the uses for it, some of the jobs that helium does, researchers are finding out can be done with nitrogen and hydrogen. So there are some alternatives, but helium does have its uses. The dangers involved are that it puts our aquifer in danger of contamination. from some of the very toxic chemicals that the fracking process uses.
So that's going to be the theme. That's going to be running through all of this, guys, by the way. Wayne Pierce, we're listening to Wayne Pierce. He's talking about fracking, and we're going to listen to some mining stuff. But all through all of this is contaminating the aquifer. I live on a well. I drink from a well about 15 miles from here. So obviously those of us on a well and the other 16,000 wells in Arizona pay attention to this kind of stuff. At least we should. So that's going to be one of the themes. To once again to summarize, Wayne's talking about fracking. We know what it is, and we know it's using water to get resources out, and how it can contaminate. Wayne is going to tell us. But these guys are pretty smart. I want to ask them about their organizations. Wayne, what's your organization?
Our organization is POWAS, Protect Our Water Arizona.
P-O-W-A-Z.
P-O-W-A-Z .org. So we've got a wonderful website put together by our main speaker, Dr. Kevin Gibson, who is a retired mining engineer from Aramco in Saudi Arabia. And he knows a thing or two about mining, drilling, and fracking.
Very good. John.
Yeah, and
this is John Stuckey.
POWAS is an action team of the White Mountains Indivisible Group. And right now, it's just in the White Mountains Indivisible Group, but in early mid October, we hope to have a statewide meeting to make it into a statewide team, and perhaps eventually down the road something similar on a national indivisible level.
Great, because this is important information, and you're.
So I'm focused on the legislation part. We hope to have five bills introduced for the 2020 legislative session in the state. The first one would be a reintroduction of a bill that never got a hearing last year, which called for a total ban of fracking across the state. As a backup bill, we hope to, you know, if we need to, we want to present a bill calling for a moratorium for X amount of years, and the X would get filled in through negotiation, I'm sure, as the bill gets written and developed, and
sure,
we look for supporters. We also have a bill that wants to develop strict regulations for the process and make sure that there is an entity, whether it's ADEQ or some other entity, that is responsible for monitoring the process, and and there need to be strict penalties for violation of those procedures, and some kind of compensation for people who are adversely affected by it, because there are now 1,500 health studies that say it's absolutely impossible to frack without there being health effects, negative health effects.
Not a matter of if, but when,
right,
as we'll talk about with several things during this process.
Right. Then we want to have a bill that allows people to buy the mineral rights under their land, because presently you have to do that separately, and the process of doing that is just incredibly cumbersome. You need a lot of money and time to even start the process. So we want one that just says, if you're the present deed owner, we don't care about the deeds from 1880 or 1912 or whenever. If you're the deed owner, then you should be able to own the mineral rights. And then finally, we want a bill that calls for some kind of compensation for the people who have been breathing toxic air and drinking poisoned water, primarily up on the Navajo Nation and Hopi land. They've been doing it for decades, and there's a lot of adverse health effects for those people, too.
Well, that's part of what I'm hoping this show does. We can make some of these connections. You're talking about fracking. We're talking about water contamination. We're talking about ground. We're going to talk about mining in a minute. Candidate Bill Pierce is going to talk about mining, and he's going to be talking about water contamination, and you're talking about past contamination. He's going to be talking about past and future contamination. But right now, we're going to let Bill go back into finishing his fracking discussion here. What Wayne? Say, I'm screwing up the names. Wayne.
Yes.
Dave, you're going to show, of course, we're on radio, so you can't. You had a wonderful slideshow for us at the door breakfast, but we don't have that. Martha, you got something on your mind here.
Yes, I just wanted to say in terms of the fracking that's happening and the legislation we're going for, helium has been mined in Arizona back in the 60s and 70s. They went for the helium that was close to the surface. In 2002, the fracking process came into being. And at that time, they have this new technology to bore through the Earth's crust and go down, in our case, above and below the aquifer, which can bring up contaminants of radiation, radon, beside the helium gas. So they got the easy helium the first time around, and now they're coming back to dislodge the deeper stuff. Also in 2002, the Halliburton loophole was added, and that loophole states that oil and gas are exempt from the Clean Water Act. So any of us who think our water is protected by the EPA or anyone else, it is not so when people come to start mining.
So in 2002, the acting president, Dick Cheney, had
Mr. Halliburton.
Mr. Halliburton. So it's funny how those things are connected. Open corruption is not just Arizona. I guess that's the good news. It's not just Arizona that's involved in open corruption, but the federal government also. And so that's the assault on the environment. And then we're talking about these things, you know, and you guys gave a lot of gravity to your presentation this morning. These things are so heavy. They don't need us to give any gravity to them. So if we can just get this information out, we'll be doing a service certainly to Democratic perspective listeners. So if pick it up where you left off on fracking, please.
Okay. Well, of course, we're talking about the dangers of fracking. It does get complicated, but there's one thing that I feel is probably the most important part of this whole thing, and that is that the fracking process takes a lot of water, and the oil and gas companies are going to get that water out of our aquifer. This is our drinking water. This is the drinking water that we are going to be giving our children and grandchildren in the future. And so when something comes along that puts that water at risk, we certainly have something to say about it. Now, I mentioned that it takes a lot of water. Well, there would be a debate if we were talking with oil and gas, because they would tell us, no, we don't use that much water. It has been estimated, the low estimate for water by the Arizona Environmental Quality
Department.
Their estimate is that a fracking well will take about 20,000 gallons of water. Duke University, who did their own study, disagrees, and they feel that the fracking process per well could be up into the millions of gallons of water. Now, keep in mind, this is for one well. So the oil and gas companies are not here to operate from one well. They're here to operate from many wells. So when you multiply the number of gallons of water by how many wells there could be, it turns out to be a lot of water. Even if you use the low number of 20,000 gallons, even that is too much water to be taking out of our aquifer to add to the maybe a profit to a small oil and gas company. It's our water. It's all of the citizens that live not only in this part of Arizona, but a contaminated aquifer could stretch throughout the entire state and even out of the state, contaminating the Little Colorado River, the Colorado River, going through Grand Canyon, Lake Mead. All of this is in jeopardy if there is an accident. And the thing that we know is that it is not a matter of if there will be an accident. It's a matter of when will that accident happen and how bad will it be. So my feeling is the enormous amount of water that they're taking out of our aquifer to do what they do in a drought is that should be the end of the argument. But obviously it's not. So,
well, that's it. And as you guys, I have a little bit of a leg up on the audience. I've been listening to some of this already. We're talking about water for 40 million people. We're talking about the Colorado River. And you don't need to be an environmentalist and you don't need to be an engineer to realize that the Colorado River is the lifeblood of the West and certainly this part of the West. And so anything that affects that, and so these kinds of, I have to admit, I was like most people, I didn't think there was going to be any fracking in Arizona. Who would be stupid enough to frack in this really, really sensitive environment? And yet, profit, apparently, I was the naive one to think that they wouldn't be going after that kind of profit.
You know, one of the points that Kevin Gibson makes, and he worked for Saudi Aramco in Saudi Arabia, he said, they would never put a drill of any sort anywhere near their water sources.
Any water source.
Yeah, they would not put any kind of a
over
a
there.
Well there.
Yeah. In the oil-rich Middle East.
Right.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
They were too smart for that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're not, apparently. And that's one of the things this is a political show. One of the things that I want to mention is that we still have, so many people are focused on 2020 and the election, as they should be. But we still have another legislative session to go through.
Right.
And as you guys are getting focused on, John Stuckey's doing the legislative part. You guys are doing these presentations. That session that comes between now and the 2020 election. So we're not rid of these fools yet, in my humble opinion. And that we still need. So at the end of the show, certainly we're going to make you guys go through all your contact information again. Please pay attention. You can find this stuff without our help and get involved. Wayne's going to make an eloquent plea here eventually to talk to folks. You guys all are. I am too. This stuff matters. And your voice matters. I have to admit that what we're finding, we've kind of let the Arizona legislature do their own thing for so long, they didn't think we cared. They're finding, thanks to the teachers, thanks to lots of other activism, thanks to indivisible groups, Sedona Invisible, Cottonwood Indivisible, there are so many now, thanks to these White Mountain Indivisible, thanks to these groups, the legislature has, and they're starting to pay attention. They actually seem to, at least, I don't want to say maybe through fear, I don't know what it is, but they're paying attention, and at least your voices, I think our voices are being heard at the Arizona legislature, so keep it up. And that's the message that you guys give, and we want to keep giving that message.
Sign up for a request to speak. That's been very effective this last legislative session. We killed a bunch of nasty bills by, I think, at least in part, by the request to speak system.
And you can do that online now, right?
You can do that online. You go to the Arizona.gov, and there's a very easy process that you can follow. There's a group called Citizens Engage Beyond Voting, and they will actually send someone to the Capitol to register you. So if you go to their webpage, and there's a video that shows you how to do it, it's very easy. Even a techno idiot like myself managed to do it. So,
well, that's it, and that's real important. We're talking about things that matter, and people want to get involved. I'm seeing more and more of that, and this is the way to do it. The Arizona legislature, bless their hearts, have made it easy to at least do sign up to be a speaker, even if that scares you. It's get some help. It is effective.
Well, you can write it. You don't have to actually speak it.
It's worth the pain. So we've talked about the legislation. We've talked about there's more to say on fracking. There always is, and we'll come back.
There's so much more.
There is so much more. But I want to give Bill Pierce a chance to talk about kind of the mining situation, because this is, you know, as far as the environmental dangers go, this is sort of the progenitor. This has been around the longest. And, you know, and Democratic perspective, and my co-host gets mad at me when I say this, we're kind of a middle-of-the-road show. I'm the most radical thing we got here. And the idea is we're not worried against jobs. We're not, worried about mining. We realize that that's in the state seal and all of that. But there's a responsible way to do it. And that's what we're looking for. Tell us what's going on with the mining, Bill.
All right. Well, we're doing a lot of mining throughout Arizona, over 400 active mines at this time. And Arizona does supply close to 60% of all the copper used in the United States. One other problem, though, that we have, and the most dangerous of all of them, is the uranium mining issue.
Right.
8,600 mining claims let out in the Grand Canyon watershed alone in the last couple of years.
That's how lucrative uranium is. 8,600 mining claims. I mean, everybody wants to get rich off of uranium, and I guess
that ain't going to happen. The market price of uranium right now, last I saw, was running about $25 a pound. Now, Arizona's uranium has a 1-5 viability rating. That means for every 1-5 pounds of uranium ore you extract, you get 1 pound, or for every 100 pounds of uranium ore you extract, you're going to get between 1 and 5 pounds of usable uranium.
I see.
And so at $20 to $25 a pound selling price, it costs them more to pull it out of the ground than they're going to sell it for.
I'll be done.
So that's why our uranium right now is slowing down. But with the current situation the way it is and the talks of war and that kind of stuff, uranium is highly prized because they have to enrich it to make the plutonium for our bombs.
I see.
We have a number over 7,200 known atomic warheads in our arsenal right now.
Well, we have legislators in Arizona that are seeking. They don't seem to mind uranium. They don't seem to mind uranium at the Grand Canyon.
They don't understand part of the problem, and they're going to end up drinking the same water or breathing the same air the rest of us do.
Oh.
And right now, we have just in the Navajo Reservation alone, I pointed that out last time I was here, was 592 abandoned uranium mines on the reservation. Every one of them is leaking. Every one of them is toxic, and they're not sealed. Why are they not sealed during the Cold War era? Why the mining companies were told, you just keep blowing and going, keep mining, the government will come in behind you and clean up. And they never did.
I see.
That's why one of the reasons when I started hearing about the fracking in this area of the and fracking for helium, it kind of woke me up.
Right.
We've had Dr. Kevin Gibson down speaking to our East Valley Environmental Club group, and we're having these groups come back down to our Dobson Ranch group in Mesa for a two-part series in August and September. So,
all right, well, that's good. If those of you that get to the Valley or are listening from the Valley, there's more.
We're going to try to do it. I can see if we're going to try if we can get our social media guy to do a Facebook Live on it.
I see.
On both sessions.
That's a good idea.
So, but one of the biggest problems we have with the water is so much of it is already contaminated with uranium. You start adding more contaminants to it, you might as well just forget even wanting to drink a glass of water.
Yeah.
The largest spill of radioactive material in U.S. history, everybody thinks, was Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania, which it was not. Mm. It was Church Rock, New Mexico, an abandoned uranium mine. The tailings pond, the dike around it, gave way. This was in July of 1979, and dumped 90 million gallons of radioactive sludge into the Rio Puerto River, and it flowed for over 90 miles into Navajo County, Arizona.
Jeez.
That's why that water up there is already so contaminated. And what they're not telling us about the helium, they say it's non-flammable and it's non-toxic. Hmm. It is also a carcinogen. It is radioactive. It's an alpha particle. It is an ionizing radiation. It is radioactive. I have not been able to find the information yet on what the half-life would be, but I know the uranium is 140 million years.
Wayne and Martha Pierce, I want to get back into the fracking. How is this a reality? Here we are sending up all these red flags. How likely is this to happen? Where is this right now?
How likely is fracking to happen?
Yes, right here.
It's an interesting thing because one of the things we've noticed is that all the companies that are applying for leases and getting leases on land to start this process, they're all small companies. We don't ever hear any of the names of the big companies, Shell and Mobil. These are all small companies that when we hear them, we've never heard of them before.
Yeah.
And these are not only are they small companies, but they are many of them are lacking in finances, in assets. And so it doesn't really take much for one of these companies to go belly up and declare bankruptcy. Uh-huh. And
in answer to your question also is the fact that excuse me, Wayne, for interrupting you. He's used to it.
I'm sure
been with
is.
Him for 50 years, so what can I say?
Wow, okay.
Anyway, beside the fact that these companies are very small, to your question, yes, we do have fracking already. There is a well in Apache County. Right now, that well is owned by Ranger Development, which holds over 80 leases at this time to frack. They have gotten drilling permits. They haven't acquired their aquifer protection permits at this time. For some of them, they have. But the well that is going right now is in right up above St. John's. It is on private land. One of the things that our group, and we have a new lawsuit, thank you to the Center for Biological Diversity, Sierra Club, and Earth Guardians, just filed a federal lawsuit against the BLM because they released 40,000 acres of BLM land in the Holbrook Basin to Desert Mountain Energies, one of the small companies Wayne referenced, to do drilling. And this is 42,000 acres worth of BLM. Part of it is in the petrified forest, which is not protected. And so this concerns us not only the fact that we didn't have a voice prior to this happening. The legislation is going for the fact that they bypassed NEPA and any EPA regulations, which have since been taken off the table.
No hearings, no nothing?
No. They bypassed all that and referenced back to 1988, the NEPA study at that time, which, as I mentioned, was before fracking technology. Wow. So it's totally non-compliant with what's going on now. But unfortunately, they are here. They have the permits. We have Blackstone. We have Desert Mountain Energies. We have Ranger. And we have a new one, Pollard, that just started drilling right above the I-40. And I just read the minutes from Oil and Gas, which, by the way, is starting to take notice because we have had a presence there this last year. And they Pollard just started under the auspice that they were doing the cleanest helium removal, only 1,500 feet into the ground, and they were going to just extract the helium from the top layers of rock, not through the aquifer. However, in reading the Oil and Gas minutes, I noticed that they have actually been stopped on their first well for non-compliance. So that Oil and Gas even paid attention is remarkable because they have turned a blind eye for many years in this state. But I think we're making a little headway because they did close the well stopped for two different non-compliances, one for the operator and the other for, I think, the site itself. And that's the safe one.
Now, I want to ask both of you guys, I want to make this clear. If the fracking, at least as far as we know, is, are they going to be pulling oil and gas? Are we going to see, just like they do in Pennsylvania and whatnot, are they going to pull oil and gas out and put it for sale? And are we going to get cheaper energy this way? We've made it clear that they're after helium, which is a rare element, and that's some. But are they after oil and gas too?
Yes. Well, they actually added after they started getting some pushback. They actually added and other hydrocarbon resources to the helium. So yes, it's quite possible that they're going after.
And some of the well permits state 4,000 feet. And that's clearly below the aquifer that would lead you down into caverns where there would be available natural gas or oil. And unlike what we were all feeling, including Dr. Kevin Gibson, who moved here because he didn't think there would be oil and gas fracking, we're finding out that there are deposits down below the crust of the atmosphere, deeper at 4,000 feet. And that's also written in some of the specific drilling abilities.
So just to be clear, they can go above and below the aquifer.
Correct.
And as you keep saying, and I believe it's true, that it's not if an accident is going to happen, it is when my well and lots of others could easily be contaminated.
Well, the statistics are that 10% will fail, you know, have some kind of problem immediately, up to 15% after a couple of years. I wanted to talk a little bit about actually what goes wrong. You know, when we say there's accidents, what does that mean? Well, they take this water and they inject it with some really toxic cocktail of nasty elements that they don't have to tell us about, and that's what eats away at the rock underneath the earth, and that's what releases what they're after, either helium or oil and gas. And so if you have the toxic water, you know, it's in a casing, but if the casing fails, and that's generally one of the things that happens, then all of that toxic water, you know, if it fails, for instance, while it's going through the aquifer, then it all goes into the aquifer.
You gave the wonderful example of BP and the
Well, I think everybody, most everybody can remember a few years back the images on TV, on the news,
right,
with the British Petroleum well blowout in the Gulf, and how every day we saw the oil pouring out of this damaged casing.
That was a failed casing.
And that was a failed one. And like John said, it's not a matter of if a casing will fail. It's a matter of when one will, and how bad will the accident be.
How can people find out about it? You know, okay, John, you.
We have a website, powaz.org.
About who's coming? I mean, how will we know? Here we are in, you know, Central Valley here, Arizona, Northern Valley, Verde Valley. How will we know if somebody's coming to do some fracking?
We don't know. Most of the people don't know. It's only, in our case, it was almost an accident that somebody found out that this was coming, and they told somebody, and then we ended up with a group that was fighting it. So they do not, oil and gas is the last thing that they are is transparent. They will not answer a question or give a vague answer. They don't give any details at all. I suppose they think it might be a liability. I don't know, but hard to get information from these people. And the politicians also, the boards of supervisors in different counties. I mean, things happen. You read about it in the paper, but it's already happened. And people go, wow, why didn't I hear about that?
I don't get why our leaders want to secretly poison us for profit for a company, unless it's, again, open corruption. Bill
that Pierce. Was one of the problems we had when the Church Rock, New Mexico disaster happened. They went after the governor of New Mexico to declare a state of emergency, and he refused to do it.
Oh, Jesus.
Finally, his reasoning was, well, it's on the reservation. He obviously he didn't care.
Right. Yes.
Finally, enough people found out about it, and they started raising enough stink about it that he finally issued a state of emergency well after the time that it had happened. But he issued English only. So a lot of the older Navajos don't speak English. They speak Navajo, or any Hispanics that were up there that don't speak English. They didn't get the warning.
I see.
That's why we've got so much cancer and everything on the reservation now from radiation poisoning.
Well, that's it. And our groundwater doesn't – we can draw all the imaginary lines we want between the reservation and the rest of whatever, but the groundwater doesn't pay any attention
right.
to our
Plus
line.
The mining industry, one other thing here on the mining industry itself in Arizona – they are guaranteed unlimited water supply.
Really?
Yes.
By statute?
Yes.
Wow.
So getting back to your question about how people can find out, actually, Kevin Gibson's wife, Deb, goes to the website where you can find out about permits being issued.
Ah.
Okay. So the way you can find out is to go to powaz.org, because as those kind of developments arise, we will put it on our Facebook, on our website.
POWAZ.org. Because this is coming, guys, and I've heard this for a while. Now, one of the visuals you have this morning, I used to make a lot of jokes about being on radio and no visuals, but now we are live streaming on Facebook, so we do actually But none of you guys look like radicals, by the way. But one of the visuals you showed this morning was this amazing graphic of the wellheads.
Ebbing County.
Oh, the pads, the well pads.
Yeah.
And you started, and we're not just talking. I'm, you know, my vision, I have to admit, when I came in this morning was that lonely derrick sitting in Oklahoma that was going up, you know, really slow and pumping well out of there, you know, pumping oil out of there on some a farm somewhere or some ranch somewhere. And this was lots of well pads.
Yeah.
I mean, how many did you show this morning?
Well, Ebbing County, I believe the last slide goes about 4 miles up, and I'm not sure there was hundreds of them. There's 200,000 fracking wells in the United States.
Holy.
So most people have probably been aware of the fracking that happened through the Marcellus Shales in Pennsylvania. And if you follow frack trackers who followed fracking across the country have shown us the damage it does. We have an environmental community called the EI community up in Navajo and Apache counties. And they've moved there because this is the last bastion of clean air and water. And these people come from places that are so polluted they literally cannot live there. One woman spoke to our group the other day and commented that living in a small community far enough away from the well that she could smell it but not see it. And yet the fracking trucks taking the chemicals to the well and the water away from the well ran in their town 24/7 and people literally couldn't even sleep.
But part of your presentation this morning, there's 20 countries, at least I saw,
right,
that have outlawed fracking. There's at least a half a dozen states, or at least many states, that have outlawed fracking.
Right.
Why? I know you don't know, but Bill is rubbing his fingers together.
It's a very oil-friendly state, yes.
I see. It's all about money.
But the thing is, they're not making money. You know, as Wayne mentioned, you know, the big boys aren't doing this.
Right.
Exxon isn't around. They're not doing that.
I see.
And so, you know, I think one of the things about it is it's a new sort of financial scam. You're a small company. You talk people into investing in your company. And then nothing happens, and you disappear with the money, and the investors are left holding the bag.
But you had fracking held out there because we all know that you know the shale deposits in the Dakotas and like you said, Pennsylvania provided lots and lots of profit up there over the years.
Yeah.
All right, so. I want to talk about, we talked about the visual, we talked about the active wells, we talked about the uranium and the contamination. Let's talk about fracking contamination, and you have some.
Okay. And it's interesting. It's a real frustrating thing, this fracking topic, to even discuss.
It is.
Because one question brings up 10 other topics.
That's right.
And I'm sure we're all sitting here thinking of 3 and 4 and 5 other things that we could say. But one thing I would like to make clear is that we are not trying to shut down the oil and gas industry. We would be hypocrites if we were doing that, because I think every one of us here probably drives a car that burns fossil fuel. Many of us use propane for cooking at home, so it isn't like we're blind to the idea that we want to get rid of oil and gas. But when oil and gas is messing with our water, that's where it needs to come to a stop. Now, the dangers, John mentioned the horrific chemicals that are added to this enormous amount of water that they take out of the ground. And by the way, it was mentioned earlier, there is no regulation in place that monitors how much water they take out of our aquifer or what they do with it. They have free rein to take what they want. Now, I don't know. There is just something inherently wrong with that idea. But these chemicals are injected into the ground that have been mixed with an enormous amount of water. That water that's injected into the ground half of it ends up coming back up to the surface. Now, it has toxic chemicals in it. Sometimes it has been in the vicinity of radon, which is radioactivity. So sometimes radioactivity comes up with this water. This is wastewater, toxic wastewater that oil and gas calls produced water. what a benign description of something that is so toxic and dangerous. So half of the water comes back up to the surface, and it has to be dealt with. It can be dealt with by putting it in a pit that they line with some material that they say, don't worry, it won't leak.
Yeah.
Yes, it eventually will leak. It gets put into trucks, and the trucks haul that toxic wastewater away from the well site, but it has to go somewhere.
Right.
Somebody has to deal with it. So, this toxic water, half of that water, like I said, comes up to the surface. The other half stays in the ground as toxic water that is in, around, near the vicinity of our drinking water. So I don't know. I have to wonder why we're having this debate, really.
I want to add that to the listeners, please don't assume your legislature knows all this and they're doing it anyway. I think a lot of them are ignorant. We got Bob Thorpe, we got Walt Blackman, we got Sylvia Allen here in LD6. And there's, lots of other legislators, depending on where you live, but those are R3. Do not assume that they have. So it's if you're listening to this show, if you go to POWAZ.org to find out some more information. And that's when you put the John Stuckey gambit into you sign up and you sign up to speak at the legislation. Find out what's going on. All of these kinds of things. It's just, like I say, to know that so many states and so many countries have outlawed this stuff.
Wayne and I started talking to the Board of Supervisors in Navajo County last July, and we spent a month or two, several visits, trying to educate them. They were unaware. And our ploy to the county was the fact that the roads belong to the county. The trucks beat up the roads. They beat up the environment around the county. And so why couldn't the county take steps to do something to regulate or monitor? And basically we spoke to a call to the audience, which they're not allowed to respond to us.
Right.
But having many talks with them afterwards, after session, basically, they kept saying our hands are tied. Well, I don't believe that, because they can make regulations on who's responsible to pay for those roads. Why should we be responsible to pay for the roads that oil and gas fracking rips up in our counties?
That's a good point. And that's when you need the Sierra Club or the National Resources Defense Council or somebody. Bill Pierce.
Yeah, one of the things that they mentioned earlier with the fracking here in Arizona for the helium, they're using acid stimulation.
Ah.
And so the stuff that's left in the ground, that half of that that's recovered, has the acid in it. Well, they're using hydrochloric acid, and it dissolves the sandstone, the lens that the helium tends to be trapped in. Well, if it's going to dissolve rock, what do you think is going to happen to the plastic liner above that acid's going to... What's that acid going to do to the plastic liner?
And that's one of the things I really thank you guys for today, folks, is the making clear. I think we made clear a complicated situation. I know I have friends. I have environmental friends. They throw up their hands as soon as it gets to fracking. They know it's toxic chemicals. They know it's bad, and that's all they know. But we're going to give you some information. Don't forget, we got this show and all our shows archived on vvid.org, Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org. Bill Pierce still has his campaign site active. We have POWAZ.org if you want to know where the fracking's happening and what you can do about it. There's local organizations you can join and so on. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.